Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mound Talk with Sioux City Explorers Manager Steve Montgomery. Mound Talk is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux City Manager questions about the Explorers, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Steve's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, Steve talks to us about how he developed his love for baseball. We learn that he's a little more competitive than we could have imagined, and we also learn a special talent that Steve has. So let's get right to Mound Talk. So let's welcome Manager Steve Montgomery. Steve, before we start in questions this week, do you have team updates you'd like to provide for us?
Yeah, you know, we have John Nagowski. Happy to say that he's moved on. His contract was purchased by the Cardinals. He reported to AA and ironically playing his first game for the Cardinals against the Athletics. So he's very excited there. We went out and signed a couple guys. We went and signed infielder Joe Benny and first baseman Brian Fortier. And, you know, we signed on our last road trip a catcher by the name of Jonathan Gonzalez.
Okay. So for this first week, I thought we would let fans kind of get to know a little bit more about you. So where I wanted to just begin with was, how did your love of baseball begin?
As a child, it was, you know, my dad's favorite sport, and he kind of introduced me to it, and you know, it just went from there. And as we grew older, really my love of basketball was number one, and it was just, you know, I did play baseball, and baseball was something that I did through the summer months, you know, just to keep busy, really. And you know, it just grew. And then once I got to high school, you know, you start to notice that you're pretty good at it, and it just grew and grew and grew. And you know, once I got into pro baseball and I got into you know, some of my arm injuries that I developed over my career, I just knew that I wanted to stay in the game. You know, I started learning about the mechanics, about how to manipulate the baseball, how to make the baseball move. And I knew I wanted to stay in it. And, you know, fortunate for me, I was able to do so.
I think a lot of people can imagine you as a pretty dominating power forward, too.
You know, I actually, you know, being... you know, 6'6", 6'7". You know, we had a very good, very, very good high school basketball coach, and you know, I would go from being a guard to a center, and he just played a matchup game. He was pretty much like an NBA coach, where he would just move you around according to your matchup and really utilize it that way.
Interesting. Well, when you leave you were coaching with Fargo, and you take over the Sioux City job, you sign a nine-year deal right off the bat. Now, I realize that's a huge commitment for you, but it's also a huge commitment by the team. How does that make you feel to know that the team has so much confidence in you to give you such a long-term deal in your first managing job?
Well, you know, the first contract I signed was a three-year deal. So okay. It was a 1 year deal with a club option for 2 years. And then we had the 2015 season, which was pretty special. And ironically, my owner sat me down and we had set 9 American Association League records that year. And just ironically, he put the 9 and 9 together. And that's where the 9 year contract came. And it's very humbling. Is what it is. It's you know, something I didn't expect, especially, you know, being that it was my first managerial job, and it just shows the level of trust that they have in me, and I think by signing it shows the level of commitment that I have to the Sioux City Explorers, and you know, hopefully it's a team that can be in contention and be playing, like I say, meaningful baseball in August. And that's what they have entrusted me with, and hopefully I can deliver.
For fans who aren't aware of how your job works, a lot of managers within the league are more than just a manager. They're the GM and do a bunch of other administrative things, which is what you have to do as well.
Is there time that you get to rest during the day with a schedule like that?
Not much. It's pretty much wake up, 8:30, 8 o'clock, and get a coffee in you, and start making your calls, start making your rounds to try to find the next piece of the puzzle. And definitely at independent ball, you wear many, many caps, we do that in Sioux City as well. We're a smaller market team. There might be times where, I'm on the phone and recruiting a player, trying to get a player here, and there's rain in the forecast, we might have to go pull tarp. So I go out and help pull tarp. So it doesn't bother me at all. I'm from a small town. I live in a small town in Florida, so I like the small town feel. So I throw my hand in there wherever it can be helped, and it just is what it is.
What are some of the reasons that you present to players for why they would want to come play for you personally and for Sioux City?
I think it's just the sheer volume. Since the end of the 2015 season, John Nagowski became our 13th player that was sent back to Major League Baseball. So, we're actively recruiting guys that are hungry to get back to Major League Baseball, and it's one of our recruiting pitches. It's no secret that the number of players that we have moved back, and other than that, we put a competitive team on the field. I feel like whatever we're doing, you don't want to give away all your secrets, but what we're doing, we're not getting many of our players back. Our players are going there and they're sticking, and they're not being the fillers per se. So the little tweaks, the little adjustments that we are making is making them stick at organized baseball. And, we have a couple guys knocking on the door, at the AAA level to, possibly getting a call up.
I think some people may not realize when guys go out to go sign an affiliate ball, the great success they're having. So it's great to hear that, a guy who signs with an affiliate club is making it and maybe just, one level away from reaching the majors.
Yeah, you look at a guy like Ryan Court. Ryan, we made a little mechanical adjustment with his hand positioning and where he was striding, and credit Matt Passarelli, my hitting guy, for making those little tiny tweaks. And right now Ryan's in the top 10 in the International League in hitting, and anytime you're in that situation, you got to feel good about yourself, and you have to feel good that you might possibly get a call up. But we know how it works. They have to create a spot on the 40-man roster. So there's a lot of things that go into getting that initial call up. But, hopefully he's able to go there, and, maybe we'll see him on, TV someday.
Are there challenges that you face in building relationships with players?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about trust. It's all about trust. They have to trust you, and they have to instill the trust in you, and then I have to in return trust them. Because not only are you trusting these guys on the field, you have to trust them off the field, and you have to trust what their game's about. So it's definitely based. Your whole relationship is on trust, and we just try to build that relationship, and once it's established, I just kind of let them do their thing, because you have to trust them.
How do you feel like you've changed as a manager in your first few seasons here?
Oh, I'm definitely way more laid back than my first year. My first year, I was really not a control freak, wouldn't be the right word to use, but a lot more uptight, and used to being that guy who taps people on the butt as an assistant coach, and the manager has to be the bad guy, and I wasn't used to being the bad guy. I was the guy who tapped guys on the butt forever, and once I learned how to be the bad guy, I can remember having a meeting my first year and just saying, look, it's gonna, we're 6-19. And from now on, it's going to be my way or the highway. If you don't like it, you can come in, ask for your release, and I'll grant it to you. And, you know, ever since then, we've played pretty good baseball. You know, we finished that year 41 and 34 the rest of the way out. And, you know, we've had some success there in Sioux City, and, you know, hopefully it continues.
I think people would be interested to hear that you find yourself less intense, because I've talked with you about the fact when you enter onto the field and you put that hat on, boy, the look of intensity is really something. So is there a difference between what's in the locker room and what we see on the field?
Yes, very, very, very different. I'm very different when I'm in the hotel or just away from the field. When I'm away from the field, I like to have fun. I like to joke around. In a locker room setting, there's that line that you don't want to cross between manager and player. But you got to have fun with your players, because, you know, we are playing a kid's game. So the more fun we have in that locker room, the better I think our relationship is, the more I think there's a bond there, and the trust is there, and they really want to go out and go to battle with you. But I always tell them, when those lights come on and we put that hat on and I walk out on those field between those lines, I'm a fierce competitor. And I don't care if I'm playing checkers against my son or my daughter. I want to win. And that's what it's about. And, you know, when we're in between those lines, it's all business.
So a warning against anybody playing you in Monopoly, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Just talking about baseball in general, do you think the game has changed much from your time as a player to now?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, I think it's more specialized now. You know, you don't see, you know, back then we didn't really have, you know, and I played in the 90s, many guys that were like lefty specialists or righty specialists. You kind of just had setup guys, and you just kind of, when you turned it over to the bullpen, if you had the lead, you kind of went to your better guys, and you never really matched it up too much. So it's definitely changed in that regards. I think the guys have gotten, every year they're getting bigger and stronger and more athletic. I mean, you take my first baseman now, the guy's 6'6", 250, and we're talking about a true guy right out of college. You don't see that too. You didn't see that back when I played. You know, we had those guys, but those guys were in Double A and Triple A. And now those guys are starting off at independent ball. So I think guys are getting bigger, stronger, more athletic, and you're seeing a more specialized type of baseball.
I see that baseball is trying to do a lot to appeal more to younger fans. Are there suggestions you'd like to see happen in the game?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I'd like to see somehow, you know, they're trying to affect the time of the game, and that's the biggest thing going on in MLB. How can we shorten the game? Well, you're taking some of the stuff away that is the nostalgia of baseball, like the intentional walk. Well, why do we not have to have the guy throw four pitches? Because when he throws four pitches, he changes his arm angle. Maybe he changes his release point. And then to get the release point back, he's got to make an adjustment. So I think they're looking at wrong ways of trying to, you know, baseball doesn't have a clock. Let's just be honest. It's one of the only sports that doesn't have a clock. You know, and the game of baseball is a pure form of sport and athletics. Just don't touch it. Don't worry about it. And just let the players play.
You know, I find the intentional walk one of the more interesting areas, because I think in baseball lore, that's been some of the sources of the greatest moments in the game, like Lou Gehrig hitting a home run that was supposed to be an intentional walk. And to take something like that out, especially when you're making a pitcher throw four additional pitches, seems like it's kind of a nonsense idea.
Right, right. And, you know, there's – I don't know if there are ways of shortening the game. I think the reason why the game is lasting so long is what we touched on earlier, is the specialties. Once you get to the bullpen, the manager is going to use those specialties. You may have a lefty starting off the inning, you bring in your lefty. Now you have a righty coming up, you go and make a pitching change. And then, you know, vice versa, the next hitter's a lefty and you go make your lefty. So that's what's making the game longer is us managers matching it up out of the bullpen late in games.
So as a longtime player, coach, and manager in the game, do you have tips that you'd like to share with players who are interested in following their dream of becoming a professional?
Yeah, just work hard. Get after it. You know, Rome wasn't built in one day. And I tell my son the same thing, who's 13 years old. You know, if you're going to be a good player at this, it's something you got to work at every single day. And the more people you can get in front of, obviously, the better. Because, you know, everybody, not every coach knows everything. And what one coach says, another coach might be saying the same thing, but says it in a different form and it clicks for you. So just go out there, work hard. And you never know who's watching. I can tell you that, and especially with all the games now on the internet, and you know, Perfect Game, and all the different recruiting services there are, you never know who's watching. So just go out there, play hard, and have fun.
Now, I know Steve wanted to make it clear that he's completely open to answering relationship questions if he can. And one of the things I frequently hear is wives will ask, how do you cope with trying to keep connected with your wife and with your kids when you're gone on the road so much during the season? So how do you do that?
Well, fortunate for me, my kids are night owls. So especially during the non-school part of it. So they're up watching our games via the internet. And, you know, as soon as the game's over or I get kicked out, my phone's ringing. So it's a FaceTime call from my daughter, a FaceTime call from my son. And really, my wife and me don't get a lot of chance to communicate because I'm talking so much to my kids. And but, you know, we know that, you know, we put our kids number one, obviously. And, you know, but it's a lot of FaceTime. It's a lot of talking on the phone. And a lot of texting, you know, she'll send me pictures of the kids and stuff like that. So it's not the ideal situation, but we make it work.
So our last question for this week is, what's a talent that Steve Montgomery has that people may not be aware of?
Oh, wow. that's a good question. You know, you probably touched on it earlier. I can really shoot the basketball. For some reason, I just can shoot, and no one ever believes it because, you know, I'm out of shape now. So, but I can really shoot a basketball. I play in a men's league down in Florida. It's an outdoor men's league, and, you know, we play every, I think it's Tuesday and Thursday. And just, you know, a way of getting some exercises, and, you know, that's probably one of my hidden talents.
Well, I'd be interested in going out and playing with you, but after that whole competitive thing, I'm a little afraid now.
Yeah, if we get on the court, you know, if we're just shooting around, that's probably what you want to do.
That sounds great. Well, Steve, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, I appreciate it.
We want to thank Manager Steve Montgomery for joining us on Mound Talk this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Sioux City Manager, please send them to us at asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report. We'll see you next time on Mound Talk.